In the lead up to the 2020 presidential election, playwright Rachel Lynette conjures three female American political leaders of the past to share their wisdom, perspective, and wry humor with vice presidential candidate Kamala Harris. In the Wham! Theater event, Letters to Kamala, we meet three powerful women on whose shoulders Kamala now stands. Charlotta Bass, the first black woman candidate for vice president, Charlene Mitchell, the first black woman to run for president, and Patsy Matsu Takamoto Mink, the first woman of color to be elected to the House of Representatives, first Asian American woman to run in Congress, and the first Asian American to run for president. The play is available for streaming from this Sunday, March 14th through the 21st. Of March, and it is a great pleasure to welcome Wham! Artistic Director and our dear friend, Kristen Van Genhoven. Good morning, Kristen. How are you?
Good morning, Joe. I am good. How can you not when the sun is shining? Thank you so much for having us on again.
Well, it's always a pleasure, always a delight to hear what you're up to, and we thank you very much. We also welcome playwright Rachel Lynette to the program. Good morning, Rachel. Am I saying everything correctly?
Yes, and good morning.
Good morning to you.
Good to be here.
It's a great pleasure to have you on the program. Again, this is Letters to Kamala, and it'll be streamed March 14th through the 21st, and we'll tell you how you can get it, but ultimately it's just going to the Wham! Website. So, Kristen, let's begin with how this came about.
Well, when we were season planning for this year, Talia Kingston, the associate artistic director, and I were trying to think, you know, what are the stories that you tell while you're grieving the loss of hundreds of thousands of Americans to COVID-19 or existing in this uncertainty and economic challenges and participating in racial uprisings and countering white supremacy culture. And then, of course, the polarizing national election and bearing witness to this historic election of this vice president. So there were so many factors to consider, and we really felt like, what if we looked for plays that, instead of them reflecting the social changes, they are plays that initiate the changes and spark the conversations we want to have as we go forward into this new future. And so Talia found this play and fell in love with it, and we contacted Rachel, and now here we are. We're very excited to be presenting it. And we couldn't be more thrilled that Rachel gave us the rights to stream it for 8 days next week.
Well, it is just amazing work, and I'm interested in finding out how it came about. So, Rachel, how did this idea come to you? And it seems that just because of what is involved here, that the turnaround was pretty quick.
Yes. So this play is actually a commission with American Stage in St. Pete, Florida. And the artistic director, I think, called me in like September and maybe October and was like, we really want a play that addresses the now. And we kind of had like a really interesting brainstorm where we just popped back and forth and we talked about our feelings about, because at that time, Kamala had just been announced as the candidate. And so I was like, I think I want to write a play about first. And that's kind of how we ended up getting there. But it was a very, very fast turnaround. I think I got commissioned either late September or early October. And the show was up in November. So it was very fast.
Very fast. So what did you want the point to be, so at no time, win or lose, that it would ever be dated?
I think that, like, can you ask me that in a different way? I don't think I understand the question.
Sure, sorry. I can ask. Oh, just spin the wheel and I'll ask it a million different ways. No, my question is just, you know, as you write it, that it becomes, you know, regardless of whether Kamala Harris became our vice president or not, win or lose, that you wrote it in such a way that didn't matter. It was about these women having this conversation. And what were the challenges in that?
Yeah, for me, I think that like a lot of people have these conversations with themselves. A lot of women of color have these conversations with themselves, and we have these moments where it's like it doesn't really matter what the outcome is. It's still our burden to keep making sure that we keep bringing progress.
And so for me, I wasn't so much focused on whether or not she would win, but just what's her responsibility to us as a whole and what's our responsibility back to her. And that's what I focused on.
When it comes to these the women that you chose, I mean, obviously, as I mentioned in the introduction, we can sort of see where what they have in common. But what was there a larger net that you were looking at and you had to pare it down, or were these always the women that immediately came to your mind?
These were always the women. I wanted to think about women that I didn't learn about in school, and I kind of wanted to know why didn't I learn about these women in school. And I think that they're very important people. And I just know that I was always told that Shirley Chisholm was the first black woman to run for president. And to learn that that wasn't true was pretty, like, extraordinary. So I started with Charlene Mitchell. And then I was like, who else was a true first and we don't know about it? And that's how I ended up with Patsy Mink and Charlotta Bass.
Give us a sense of these three women and what you found fascinating about them, and ultimately writing their words, writing their voice.
Yeah, my favorite is Charlene. She ran with the Communist Party, and I think that she's the most, for their time, the most radical of them. But I think what's really funny is how we define that word radical and how times change, because what Charlene wanted is no longer considered to be radical at all. And the fact that she was with the Communist Party, and this is what she's saying and what she wanted, is what moderate Democrats want at this point. So that was really fascinating to me about her. Something that was really fascinating to me about Charlotta Bass is that she was the first black woman to own a newspaper. Like, she had so many different other things going on. Like, she wasn't just the first black woman to be vice president. She's also, like, was running her own newspaper that she had to buy from a white person who was like, if you sleep with me, you can have it for free. And it's just, like, the kind of things, the ways that her morals were constantly questioned. And then even after she died, her name's not even on her own gravestone. That's kind of heartbreaking to me. So that's what drew me to her. And then I remember learning a little bit about Patsy in college because of Title IX. But she's so much more. And I think that we kind of reduce these women to one thing. And that was something that I really didn't like. And so something that I did not know, and I just, you know, ignorance, and I know better now, is that I didn't realize how much segregation affected people that just weren't black and white. And knowing that she had issues at school, and that because she was an interracial marriage, like, it really kind of destroyed her political career. She couldn't be a doctor because of it. And that was something that was very fascinating to me, because whenever we talk about segregation, we don't talk about the other people of color who are also affected by it.
Kristen, what was your reaction when you first came in contact and you first saw or read the play, and then knew that it was something that so matched the work that Wham does?
Yeah, I mean, after Talia, you know, found it and sent it to me, I think even before we read it, we were like, well, this feels like a really great fit. And like so many people, I mean, even in the rehearsal room this week with the artists in the play, we all were like, who are these women? Why didn't we learn about these women? And I think that is one of the things, again, to echo what Rachel said, this question of there are so many extraordinary, rich and complex women who have been lost to history due to how our society functions. And so that is something that I know we have shared those stories in the past, and our whamily, our audience, really loves hearing about these characters. And you know, everybody goes home and goes to Google and goes down the rabbit hole. And that's exactly what happened to me. I read the play. I was really struck by these women questioning Kamala, inspiring Kamala, affirming Kamala, holding her accountable. And then just literally like went down the Google rabbit hole for a few hours learning about these extraordinary women and thinking, here we go again. You know, there's so many of these groundbreaking, trailblazing women who have accomplished so much for our whole society, whose shoulders we stand on, and we don't even know about them. And so that's ultimately what drew us to the play. And then, of course, knowing that our whamily was so excited about this new vice president being inaugurated, and it just felt like a no-brainer that folks would want to hear more about that story. And then also something we talked a lot about with the director was this, you know, the complexity of Kamala's record and wanting to hold her accountable to that, and also being really excited about her reaching this point and being this first. And as she says, you know, she may be the first, but not the last. So wanting to unpack that a little bit as we go into the future and recognize that those things, we can hold both of those things at the same time. We can celebrate the accomplishment while also struggling with how to come to terms with some of the decisions that were made to get to that point. And we felt that Rachel, you know, the play that Rachel writes addresses that really beautifully. And that was something that the director, Nicole Brewer, was particularly interested in examining and exploring during the last 3 days in rehearsal with the artists.
So, first of all, let's just all take a moment and revel and celebrate the word whammily, which I don't think I could hear enough. That's awesome. So now that we're done with that, let me...
I'll send you the T-shirt.
it's a perfect thing to put on a T-shirt, absolutely. So, Rachel, let me ask you, tell us about the casting, tell us about of putting this, and of course the oddness of having this be... my understanding is it's about an hour and 15 minutes and will stream and is something that people can watch on a device of their choice.
Yeah, I actually don't know a ton about the casting process because I wasn't as involved in this one in the room because I have like 4 other things that I'm doing right now.
Yeah.
But I can tell you like why I chose like the racial breakdown of the characters.
Yes.
It does run about an hour and 15 minutes. Yeah. So for the racial breakdown of the characters that I chose, I really wanted, I think when we talk about Kamala a lot, we talk about how she's the first Black woman, and that's true, but I'm a multiracial person. And so she's also the first Southeast Asian woman. And that's really, really important too. And so that's why I wanted to also make sure that we had Asian American representation in the cast as well.
And what was great about the casting, we found this tragically revolutionary, to be honest, is Talia and I sent Nicole a list of artists that we know and that we were excited about the possibility of working with again, and said we would set up auditions or meetings or that sort of thing. And Nicole literally just looked through the list and said, I would like these 3 people. Let's ask if they're interested in doing it. And just trusted that these are all professional artists. They've come recommended from this company. I'm going to trust that this is all going to work out great. And, you know, we sent emails to those 3 artists. They all, you know, said yes. Actually, one of the original artists got a TV job. So then Nicole chose somebody else. And they all just had this extraordinary time over the last 3 days. I sort of lurked in the background of rehearsal a little bit, and the community that Nicole was able to build in 3 days, you know, with these artists, and just like how delighted they all were as women of color to be saying these words, to be in a room being directed by this extraordinary director of color, you know, creating this piece. They and just getting a chance to be actors in this pandemic. It was, you know, like a quote that a friend said to me the other day. It was like a COVID EpiPen shot. You know, it just gave them a boost, and it was really powerful. I'm very excited to see it come together, and I really hope that folks see it. Not just because the story is so interesting and learning about these women is so interesting, but because the work the artists have accomplished in 72 hours. It's really going to remind us about the power of professional theater artists and what can be accomplished in such a short time.
Well, it is all happening, and it's streaming this Sunday, March 14th through the 21st, and you can find out more. All you have to do is go to the Wham website, which is whamtheater.com. Wham Theater, that is WAMTHEATRE. .com, whamtheater.com. You'll also find a link on our website where you can find out more information about the streaming of this Wham production. Kristen Van Genhoven is artistic director. Rachel Lynette is the playwright. Thank you both for being with us. What a pleasure to have you both here this morning. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Joe. Thank you, Rachel, so much.
Be well. Thank you very much. Again, the play is available for streaming this Sunday, March 14th through the 21st. You can find out more by going to whamtheater.com. We will continue with the roundtable after this short break.